We all go to feasts. Which feast is most memorable? What is memorable? Is it the food, the ambience, the people? Is it the satisfaction you experience at the end? What comes when you come out of a party? I think when you move out of a feast, the satisfaction, the contentment is what making the feast memorable. Jesus feeds. God always feeds. He fed the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. They were fed with miraculous food called manna. It fell from the sky. It was wonderful food, a daily provision. God feeds. Elisha fed 100 people by giving only 20 loaves of bread. The servant was unwilling to serve 20 loaves to 100 people. But Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat. They shall eat and have some left." That's what exactly happened. It was a miraculous feeding. Now, in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and more than 5,000 people were fed. One scholar, I do not want to name him, questioned the multiplication of the bread and the fish. He said that a different kind of miracle took place. A boy came forward and shared the food that he had brought from home. Seeing the boy share his food, everybody started opening the food that they brought, and soon there was enough food for everyone. In fact, his message is that if we all start sharing, everyone will have enough. That's the message he is wanting to give. But that's not what happened here. Jesus fed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves. If people had food, the disciples would not have asked Jesus to send them away. They came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." If they had food, why Jesus had to feed them? So this scholar's view is unacceptable. Jesus, who turned water into wine, has multiplied these 5 loaves and 2 fish. In his hands, all things are possible. Paul gives God a wonderful title in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Let me read that verse. God calls into existence the things that do not exist. God calls into existence the things that do not exist. Certainly the food was not there. Only 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he calls into existence so that all of them can be fed. God feeds. Jesus feeds. Our prayer every day is, "Give us today our daily bread." God provides. Now, you all know that I have been in ministry for a little more than 40 years. When I first came to ministry, my parents were not at all happy. My father took me to a different place and told me, all your brothers and sisters will do extremely well in their life, but you will not have enough. But that proved wrong. He always provides. He always provides more than what we can consume. He always provided. And I have more than what I need. So I have also learned one important lesson over the period is that only God provides us. I may have food, but appetite is given by God. I may have medicine, but healing comes from God. I may have wealth, but contentment is from God. I may have good bed, but sleep is given by God. In fact, if God doesn't provide, nothing is giving me the satisfaction. He provides. For sure, everything that we have is given by God. So believe in him, not anything else. Matthew, Mark, and Luke say that the feeding of the 5,000 happened immediately after the death of John the Baptist. Jesus heard the news of John's death and he wanted to go away to be alone. How John the Baptist was killed? It was a party. And in that party, we know what had happened. Herodian's daughter wanted John the Baptist's head on a platter. And at the end of the party, this has happened, and John the Baptist was killed. When this news came, Jesus wanted to go to be alone. We can call it me time. Jesus wanted me time. Not only he wanted to be alone, he wanted to protect his disciples. It's a cruel death. John the Baptist is a powerful minister, and his end came like this. So he wanted to spend time with his disciples to embrace them, to console them, to comfort them. So he took a boat and went to the other side so that he can be alone with his disciples, and then he can also be alone. By hearing that Jesus is going to the other side, people started coming from all directions. They walked and they came. They came in big number. As soon as he reached the other side, he already saw a big number of people. What we will do? If I were the one, I would take the boat back. But the Bible says, seeing the number, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. The word compassion is a very important word we have already discussed, but let me quickly go through it. Jesus was moved within himself, not because he could not do anything about human need. No, it is not sympathy, it is not empathy, it is not pity. He is moved within himself. He is totally shaken within himself. It is not that he cannot do anything with that. It is because he is shaken by seeing the need of the people. Whenever a human need comes in front of him, he is shaken within himself. People say that, where is God when it hurts? When it hurts, God is shaken. When it hurts, he is also suffering with us. Jesus, who wept, is also suffering along with us. He is moved within himself. His compassion led him to heal the people and feed them. He fed them. Now, this was a deserted place. This was the wilderness. Now, let's think about wilderness. Jesus fed people in the wilderness, not in the city center, but in the wilderness. Why is the wilderness important for us? Because new beginnings often start in the wilderness. That's the history of Israelites. They walked through the wilderness for 40 years. They had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Now this wilderness experience gave them identity, gave them a nation, gave them the law, gave them a new pattern of worship. Everything new emerged from the wilderness. So here again, in the wilderness, Jesus is feeding, something new is emerging. Now we see something interesting here. Jesus asked his disciples to make the people sit. Matthew uses the word for sit is different. In fact, he uses the same word for the Lord's Supper. When the disciples came for the Lord's Supper, they were not simply sitting, they were reclining. The same word is used here. All these people were asked to recline. All these people, the big number, sat comfortably, relaxedly. We have to remember one thing, that slaves cannot sit and eat. Slaves will always stand and eat. But that's not the case here. Jesus makes them to sit relaxedly, reclining position to eat. That's what Matthew says here. And we all know Psalm 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. That's the experience. Our God is a compassionate God. He is wanting us to be fed, not hurriedly, relax. And he gives us a wonderful food. Now let's compare the food that Herod gave, the party that took place at the palace of Herod Antipas, and let's see the feeding of 5,000. Let's make a small comparison. That food, Herod's feast, was hosted by a worldly king. Jesus' feast was hosted by heavenly king, our Lord, our master. Herod's feast was held in a royal palace. Only selected guests were invited, the rich, the powerful, and the influential. In Jesus' feeding of 5,000 took place in the wilderness, where ordinary people, including the poor and the needy, were welcomed. In our first reading from Isaiah, God calls people from the marketplace. He invites all people to come eat and drink without paying anything, without payment. All are invited. Even those who have no money, the Lord freely offers refreshment, nourishment, and life. Everyone is invited in that place. The rich and the poor, the downtrodden and the rejected. Everyone is invited in his party. What is the motive behind Herod's feast? It was motivated by pride, political power, and self-indulgence. It was a lavish banquet designed to impress. What was the motivation behind Jesus feeding the 5,000? Compassion and love. Care for the people and with full of love. Herod wanted to impress his guests, but Jesus sought to serve the people, serve the people. We know that Herod Antipas' feast ended with the death of John the Baptist. Jesus' feast revealed that he is the bread of life. His feast revealed life, life of abundance. The kingdom of God is being revealed. There is abundance. You know, scholars are not so happy to give meaning to the numbers. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 people. They are not so interested in giving meaning to it. But when it comes to 12 baskets full, they are little interested. They say that the entire 12 tribes of Israel is well fed. The entire 12 tribes of Israel have received grace. The grace is abundantly poured, and it's overflowing, and it's overflowing throughout the world. That's the meaning they are giving. 12 baskets full. In my missionary days, I remember an incident. We invited 10 young people to come and to do evangelistic work in our mission field. They were young people, not from my language group. They were from another language group. But they were enthusiastic. They were going from village to village, preach the gospel. So we invited them, and then we also went along with them. One day, I arranged meal for them in my house. My co-worker and I hosted that meal. 10 young people, strong people, we were serving food. And I thought none of them know the language that I speak. So I told my co-worker, serve them koncham koncham, serve them little, little. When I said this, they caught it. The 10 young people know what I was telling. What had happened? They did not eat their stomach full. My motivation, my intention is not correct. When we go to feast, what is going on in the mind of the host, do we know? Is it that, is his heart is with you when he serves the food? We don't know. I don't want to judge. Please don't stop inviting me. I'm not judging when you come to your house. Please invite me. When we host meal, we have something going on in our mind. That's not the case with our Lord Jesus. When he serves willingly, wantingly, compassionately. That's what we read in this passage. Abundance. Of course, the food is simple, but at the end, everyone is satisfied. Everyone is satisfied. So, Jesus serves us wholeheartedly, compassionately. Have faith in him. In this passage, Matthew says something that is very beautiful. He says 4 things. Jesus took the bread, looked up to heaven, blessed the Lord. Then thirdly, he broke the bread. And fourthly, he gave them. Four things, very interesting. He took the bread, looked up to heaven, blessed the Lord. You know, we normally think that he blessed the food, but that's not the case. According to my reading, you can do some more research on that. He did not bless the food. He thanked God for his provision. When we say we bless the Lord, we say, Lord, thank you. We say, Lord, I praise you for your provision. All that we have is given by him. So we thank him. So it is not about blessing the bread. It is about thanking God for all his provision. There is nothing special about this food. There's everything special about the one who gives everything that we need. So he looked up to heaven and thanked the Lord. Now we use the word bless for many things. We say, God bless you. When we use the word God bless you, here we are expecting some change in our lives. We want God to be our help. So here the word bless is different than when we say bless the Lord. When we say bless the Lord, we thank him. We thank him for his provision. And thirdly, he broke it. And he gave to his disciples. The same four things happened when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew's gospel. So when Matthew records these four actions, he is telling his readers that something big is going to come. Something big is going to come. This is a physical food, but you are going to get eternal food. That is going to come. He is mentioning, he is giving the foreshadow of what is happening. Let's look at the four things. You know, itself is a big sermon. I'm not going into that. He took the bread. The bread, God chose Jesus. And he sent us to this world. He's chosen. He's anointed. And he is blessed. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. He is blessed. He is anointed for the purpose of salvation of humanity. So he is chosen. He is blessed. And he is broken. He broke himself for us on the cross. And then he gave himself for us. He gave himself to us. Now, this we can apply into our own lives. Lord, you take me. I surrender myself to you. I know that I cannot live by myself. Take my life. I surrender myself. Then secondly, Lord, bless me. You have a purpose in my life. Let me know that purpose. Bless me. And thirdly, Lord, break me, mold me, create me so that I am used, and give me make me serve the people out there. Very beautiful, isn't it? Now, Jesus gave his flesh and blood for us. In fact, he gave his life for us. What is the response to one who gives his life to us? What is the response that we give to those who give his life? The response can be only giving yourself to him. Giving yourself to him. That is the meaning that comes powerfully. So three things we looked at it. He provides. Believe in him. He is the one who provides, whether I have money or no money. He is the one who provides. He provides willingly and compassionately. Have faith in him. He is the one who gave his life for me on the cross. And my response is to receive him and live a life for him. So when you read a menu card, you know about what is available in that restaurant. It's a knowledge. But you have not tasted anything. When you receive the food, that's where the experience takes place. And that's what Jesus is saying. You don't just know about me. Come and know me. Receive me. This is where you have life. May the dear Lord help us so that we are not just standing outside and knowing about him, but we walk in, participate in his life, and live a life that pleases him. God bless us all. Amen. Stand up.